Welcome to Whatever Works, our unique fortnightly podcast in which we talk about whatever works in our lives and in the lives of our community members. Find us at whateverworks.works. And why not join our community? Simply search for Whatever Works at MeWe.com and get stuck in.
I've already turned mine on too.
Right.
It sounds like we're probably coming from the West Country. I expect we'll get told off.
There'll be letters. You know what? I bet the listeners are fed up with us doing all this testing. But do you remember, I always laugh about that famous day that you and I were about 20 minutes into recording a show and you said, oh, Aidan, I'm so sorry. I've just realised I'm not recording. And I said, good Lord, neither am I. And we had to start again from scratch.
What a pair of twats.
Oh, hello, everybody.
Hello. Welcome to Whatever Works. We're back again. And we're going to go, we said last time, we're going to go 2 weekly from now. So it's up to you, dear listeners, to pour loads of content our way. So we've got loads of stuff to talk about. Actually, we're not doing too badly with this show, to be honest. It's show 214. It's the 21st of October. The clocks are nearly going back, or is it forward? No, back, isn't it? No, forward.
Spring forward, and fall back. So there must be backwards, yes.
Yeah, backwards. The evenings get darker, I think. That's the general idea.
Yes.
And whateverworks.works is our website, where you'll find links to all the lovely stuff we're going to talk about. And what else do I have to say? Oh, aidanbell.com is where you can book Santa up. And tedsalmon.com is where you go if you get lost and you want to find out anything else about what I do. And the team do as
the
well.
The team.
And don't forget my blog posts as well. I write quite a lot of things on my blog, lots of film reviews particularly. So do go and have a look at that. Links in tedsalmon.com. Enough of that now. Your turn. Oh, no, hang on a minute. It's my turn.
It's your turn. You're first.
Feedback from the MeWe group, for which we thank you all. And I just wanted to say, this is not feedback from the MeWe group, but we had the occasion in the last since the last recording to get some COVID kits. And I know, before you say, what's the point of that? Just get on with it. It's only a cold, isn't it? Anyway, we wanted to check to see if one of us had got COVID. And they're £6.99, and you only get 5 in them, and you can't buy... you can't get a free one from the chemist. I've been told by some of the MeWe members, actually, if you've got conditions or you've got special circumstances or whatever, then you can get free ones. But £6.99, and there's only 5. The ones that they used to give away in COVID, I'm sure they had 10 in them, and they were free.
They were, and I've still got one. I've still got some left over. By the way, I'm totally with you. Especially living with an elderly mother, absolutely. There are definitely occasions when it's prudent to do a test, and I have still got a few left over from the old days. So I haven't yet had to spend £6.99. Yeah, that. Then again, I mean, if you have a prescription and you go and get a packet of aspirin, it's £9 something or other, isn't
Not
it?
Not in Wales.
Oh, shut your face. Here. Again, this isn't really feedback. I wasn't quite sure where to put this in our recording notes. A programme came upon telly the other day about Hatfield House, which is, of course, local to me. It's down the road. So I watched it, even though it was Channel 5, and I'm not a fan of Channel 5, and I expected it to be not very good, and it wasn't. But it was still very interesting, and some interesting factoids came forth, and I thought you would like to hear this, Mr. Salmon. Robert Arthur Talbot Gascoigne Cecil. He was the 3-time British Prime Minister. No, listen, there's a point to this. Between 1885 and 1902, and he lived in Hatfield House. Thus, he was in the programme, and they talked about him. Apparently, he was a nepotist, and he promoted family and friends into the cabinet. So if you were a friend or a relative of Robert, you just got into the cabinet without much trouble, including, here comes the point, his nephew, Arthur Balfour. They all said, well, he got the job because Robert's his uncle. Do you know what's coming? Bob's your uncle.
Yeah.
That's where it comes from.
Is it?
That's actually the derivation of Bob's your uncle, because Arthur Balfour got a job without having to do any work in the cabinet thanks to his uncle Robert being the Prime Minister. I thought you'd like to know that because it's one of your favourite expressions.
I thought that was going to be a long-winded way of just cracking a joke. But no, it's a fact.
I once started a show years ago, one of my one-man shows in Vienna, with a long list. I said things like, you know, the first rocket was launched in front of there, and then and if you've got a cold, you can do this. And then I said, none of that's got anything to do with the show. I just thought I'd say it. And so good evening, ladies and gentlemen. So, yes, no, there was a point to that one. Bob's your uncle. Now you know where it comes from, sir. I looked to see if he had a wife named Fanny, and no, he didn't. So I'm afraid that bit, I think, was tagged on at a later date. But there you go. Yes. Bob's your uncle.
Somebody just was having fun with that, no doubt. Anyway, how am I speaking? Am I speaking well? Can you Nash? Can you see that I've got my new Nashes in? No, because I haven't.
Oh, tell us.
I got my new teeth from the dentist this week after weeks and weeks and weeks of appointments and fittings and mouldings and all the rest of it. And as I suspected right back before it all started, I hate it. I really, really hate the whole experience. I can't stand them in my mouth. I haven't got to chew anything yet because he told me not to. He said, just get used to them being in your mouth first. Well, I try and I put them in for some hours each day and it's just horrible. It's just revolting and I can't stand it. My tasting plastic all the time and the whole of the roof of my mouth. I can't swallow anything. So if I tried to put some my tablets that I have in the morning, I tried to put them in my mouth and swallow them with the dentures in. And it's just really, really hard work. And when I took the thing out, it made me realise how much of the swallowing action is to do with the roof of your mouth, with your tongue, yeah. And the interaction between the tongue and the roof of the mouth. And that's just all gone. Because the roof of my mouth is just all plastic, and it's just horrible. I haven't got to chewing anything yet because he said to me, just before you start trying to eat with them, then just get used to them. But I don't think I'm going to get to that point, frankly. It's going to be a very expensive disaster. But as you know, I did suspect that I was going to hate it, and sure enough, I do hate it, and I don't quite know what I'm going to do about it, frankly.
Well, three things, Ted. First of all, on the upside, the picture that you kindly sent me, they look fabulous. They look very natural, yeah. And they really look the part. So, I mean, that's something to look forward to, hopefully, when you get used to them. Second point, it's probably, you know what, the universe getting its own back at you for all those plastic fantastic jokes you made on PSC over the years. Now you've got a plastic fantastic gob. But thirdly, more seriously, Ted, the only thing I can say is, again, to liken it to my experience with my varifocals, which is, again, getting used to something I didn't like. I hated my varifocals so much that you'll remember I took the first pair back and got a refund and said, sod this, I can't do it. And then decided a little further down the line, no, I really need these. I'll have another go. And I had another go and I just stuck with it. And now, if I take my varifocals off, I feel uncomfortable because I'm so used to them. So I'm simply trying to offer that time heals. I guess if you can stick it out, you will eventually get used to it.
That's what he said. But I will have to try because, you know, they cost 2,000 quid.
Yeah.
And you can't just spend 2,000 quid and then chuck it away and not use it. But he did say to me, only wear them when you need to, certainly initially.
Yeah.
So, and his emphasis, like you just said, was about social. It was about what they look like.
Yes.
It wasn't so much about eating. It was about, and he said to me, don't hope to eat a steak anytime soon. You know, start with soft bread.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
But the big thing I could just can't get past, though, is the swallowing. Anyway, listeners, if you have been through this same thing that I'm going through now, please do encourage me because I need some help with this because I'm just going to... The other thing I was going to mention was that when I put the thing in, on the roof of my mouth, it makes me gag every time. When he first put them in and I sat in the chair, I gagged then and I said, that's just making me feel sick. And he said, yeah, it will at first. You'll get used to it. You know, it's like you said about the varifocals, incidentally, which I never got used to and hated.
Yeah.
But you know, I this whole experience is really, really negative so far, I'm afraid.
I do feel badly for you, Ted, but, you know, I think you will. I think you will, in time, get used to it. I think it's one of those things. It's like a death. It's like when you lose someone and you think, I'll never get over this. And sure enough, you know, you learn to live with something new. If you've had an accident and you've had a limb amputated and you think, that's it, my life is over, but then sure enough, 6 months down the line, you've learned to live with it. So
I guess with that, though, you've just got to. If you had a limb missing, you just have to get used to it or you wouldn't survive.
Yes.
With my teeth and with my varifocals, there are ways around it. I've been living without most of my teeth now for the last decade, 15 years. And so I don't have to have these teeth in my mouth. I can do without them. And the varifocals, I've got 2, 3, 4 pairs of glasses. I don't have to wear varifocals. If I had a limb missing, you'd have to. You're right. You'd have to get on with it, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and that's why I'm a little bit surprised to hear that your dentist, excuse me, said to take it gradually. Because in my experience of things like giving up sugar in tea, for instance, I find cold turkey, and again with the varifocals, cold turkey is the best way to do it. Put them on and don't let yourself take them off. So, but there you go.
Okay.
Well, we'll know you're doing well if the next episode is welcome, poo, well, pepper, burp. Then we'll know that Ted's exactly wearing them, and good on you, sir. So no giggling next week.
any top tips out there, though, do let me know. Thank you.
And I want a top tip, too. I want a top tip, too. That sounds like a new jingle. I'm looking for a new hot Quick and Hot. What is a Quick and Hot, you ask? Well, it's not a person, it's a thing. It's a Tefal Quick and Hot, which is a hot water heater. Now, I know these things are very, very prevalent. You can get all sorts of shapes and sizes to cook hot water. But I don't want to make a cup of tea. I want it for my mother, for her bedroom, where the long story I won't bore listeners with, but there's no hot water in my mother's bedroom. So I put in there our old Tefal Quick and Hot, which is a hot water cooker, and it sits and it points over the edge of the sink, and she presses the hot water button and she gets instant hot water in the morning for washing with. Now, the key word there is instant. I don't want one of these common things where you press a button and 30 seconds later out comes a cup full of boiling water. I want the one which is the one that I want to replace, where you press the button and immediately, the moment you've pressed the button, hot water, not necessarily boiling, but hot water immediately starts to come out. And I can't find one. I've spent some time on Amazon, of course, and I've looked, and they all seem to be of the type that, although they say instant, what they mean is in 20 or 30 or 40 seconds instant. And I want absolute literal instant hot water. So if anybody knows of one, I'd be very grateful. I've put a picture in our recording notes of the one that I've got, which is no longer available.
That would be really inefficient, though, wouldn't it? It would be heating the water all the time in case you wanted to turn it on.
No. It heats as it heats instantly. It draws cold water from its vessel, from its tank, and it heats it immediately.
Okay.
So it actually heats as it comes through. So therefore, it isn't boiling, which is fine because my mother wants to wash with it, not scald with it. I can't find one. So if anybody can help, there we are. Second cry for help of the show.
Okay.
Thank you.
Very good. Well done. Talking of hot water.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Remember on the last show, I bought this £6 Tesco flask.
That's right.
Well, just a very quick bit of feedback to say that I didn't realise until about a week ago that you can pour water out of it without taking the top off.
Oh, one of the clever little liddy poury things. Yes, okay.
Yeah, if you turn it round, but don't take it off. So turn the lid around so it's loose. It's got a channel that goes up through the threads, and it lets you pour water out. And then you obviously close it down when you finish, and it shuts it off again. I didn't realise that. I just didn't look at the top where it says pour.
Oh, how very Aidan Bell of you. I thought I was the one that buys things and then has no idea of all the functionality they have.
Oh, dear. What a twat.
Oh, dear.
I'm going to get in trouble for that, won't I? Oh. I mean, what a twat.
Well, from water to air, how's that?
Yes.
I just wanted to say really quickly, on the last show, I think it was a still using, I can't remember, I talked briefly again about my air-free filterless air purifier that sits in my bedroom the bed and purifies the air, but one has to simply believe that it works because there are no moving parts and no indication that it's doing anything at all. Well, I just wanted to say, my mouth was getting a little bit dry of late in the night, and I just wondered if it was because I've got this thing next to me slightly heating up the air. Perhaps that was causing dry air. So I switched it off for a few days. And blow me, the very next morning, I went into my bedroom and I thought, my God, it's stuffy in here.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to say it does work. Of course, it's the sort of practical test that I hadn't thought of in the first place. Turn it off for a couple of days and see if you notice a difference. And you do. So just a quick shout out, really, to say, yes, the air-free, filterless air purifier really does work.
Good.
That was it.
Very good indeed. I'm very pleased for you. Now,
thank you.
I got my dad a pair of slippers this week. They're called Retro Dunlop Winston 2 slippers. And just a quick feedback to say that they fitted him. They did really well. They're only 16, 17 quid, usually 20 quid, but he's very happy. They're made of this breathable fleece stuff. I'll put a link in the show notes to them on Amazon. The biggest size is 13, which fortunately he takes. But there's no 14s for me, of course. Not that I particularly want slippers, to be honest. It feels like a very old person thing to do. But anyway, he's very happy with them.
You see, now, hang on a minute. Your feet like sitting in plastic. You love your Crocs. Can you just get that up to your gob?
it's a mentality, which I haven't got. Anyway. The Dunlop. Remember Dunlop?
I do indeed.
They used to make tennis rackets.
That's
and
right.
Squash rackets. I remember Dunlop back in the day so well. Anyway, yes, nice slippers. Just a quick mention. Your turn.
Well, I was going to say, they're slip-ons, aren't they? They're not, because I know some slippers for elderly people are these ones that you can put your foot in and then you put a Velcro thing across. It's not one of those.
No,
it's just a regular slip-on slipper.
It is, yeah.
Very nice indeed. I mentioned on the show some time ago, do you remember I talked about this job that I did for F1 and they gave me all this lovely Boss clothing and I was so chuffed that I actually got given very expensive items of clothing to take away with me. One of which was a pair of Boss trainers, pure white Boss trainers, which I looked up on the web and they cost about 200 quid. I wouldn't pay 200 quid for a pair of trainers, but I own them. So I treated myself to Liquidproof Labs Premium Protector Spray, £12 from our favourite shop. And I just wanted to give a quick shout out and say it seems to work. I applied it as instructed, you know, apply it, leave it for a few seconds, spread it across, leave it for a few seconds, you know, all the sort of the regular thing, which I did. And it's totally invisible. You wouldn't know it was on the things. And I decided to do a test. So I got an old pair of knockabout gardening trainers that I've had for a long time, and it was just like doing an advert. We sprayed one trainer with Liquidproof Labs and we left the other trainer unsprayed. I poured water on both and I put a bit of dirt on both, and I have to say the side with the Liquidproof, the shoe with the Liquidproof on it, did indeed fare a lot better.
Hurrah.
The water came off like a duck's back and the dirt removed much, much more easily. So just a quick shout out to say if anybody's after the same, I can vouch for Liquidproof Labs Premium Protector Spray.
Very good. Like that stuff we used to put on wax cotton jackets, I suppose.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
Some sort of silicon layer puts on, I presume.
I used to hate that. I had a really posh, I don't know why I had it, a barber jacket coat, you know. And I used to hate wearing that because it was always so stiff, and it was stiff because it had this stuff on it on the outside, which is just horrible. And I know it made it waterproof and long lasting, but I would much rather have a nice soft coat. Anyway,
it's a better before item. But I mean, in the old days, you couldn't buy a pair of shoes without the shopkeeper trying to flog you a tin of spray and a brush and a cleaner this and cleaner that. That's luckily seems to have disappeared these days.
Absolutely. Now, talking of wax. Jingle, jingle, jingle.
Oh, okay.
I wonder who bought it.
Somebody, I wonder who bought Beard Club Beard Balm and Wax. And much like what you put on a barber coat, I think, this stuff, I don't quite get it. I'm very grateful for whoever bought it, for buying it, because I got some pennies for it, and that's what this whole section is about. But I don't get why. I would hate to have wax in my beard. I suppose it's to do with male grooming. Is it moisturiser? It says something about butter, butter and cream. is it a conditioner? Is it a softener? You can get all sorts of different flavours. There's cedar wood and lime, winter mint and a rose and sweet bay rum. That sounds interesting.
What?
But I don't get this whole thing. Maybe it's something like they used to do in the 1940s, when they put Brill cream in their hair or something. Why would you put this waxy stuff in your beard? Do you know?
Well, I'm just thinking, we talked in the last show about that we'd never met and we must try to do so in the near future. Well, if we ever make it, could you please put in some lime wax and I can suck your beard for a while? I don't get this at all, Ted. And I mean, no, I mean, I suppose it's like when you talk about shampoo, I mean, for the hair, I'm just thinking, does hair wax really look waxy or is it just a treatment for the hair that gives it a sort of shine? No, I've never had a beard, so I wouldn't know, but it's beyond me, Ted.
I've used hair gel in the past when I've had a stupid haircut and I needed to cover it up, but not wax.
And I can understand moustache wax because then you can do your old, you know, your Poirot twiddles on the end of it, etc.
In which case, it must be about shaping, mustn't it? It must be about being able to, I don't know, put the point of your beard into a pointy thing or something. I don't know.
Well, we need the mystery bearded purchaser to let us know.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm really, really grateful for you having bought it, and thank you very much indeed. If you want to help me with pennies on Amazon, you can do that by using my affiliate link, and that is at tinyurl.com/AmazonTedUK. Just go to that URL and then shop as normal and buy whatever you want as normal. I know what's been bought, but I don't know who's bought it, so your secret is safe.
Give us a song.
Still using and still using.
But it might be my new favourite logo, that one, because we both did it and it was quite good fun.
Teamwork. You see what you can achieve.
I'm still using the Asda egg cooker, which I brought to show 194 in September 23, just over a year ago.
Oh, hang on. I'll have to look at the picture because I've got to say which one. We have so many egg cookers and cooking this and eggs that and eggs the other. Oh, I see the one that sort of, it's a dome, like that scene in Aliens where all the eggs are hatching at the end. It's a sort of dome with lots of eggs in it. Okay.
But this is really, when I bought it, it was £8, I think, but it's £10 now. And you can put 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I think 5 or 6 eggs in it. I can't remember now. No, 6. And you put the dome on it, you turn it on. And as I said to you before when I first brought it, there's no timer on it. And if you've got to physically turn it off.
So
there are more expensive ones that have got timers on them that you can walk away from and leave. But this one you can't. But it is cheap. All I'm saying is that it's still in regular use and it's great. And I've got no complaints about it. And I don't mind putting my timer on the fridge onto it so that I remember to go and take it off. So, yes, that's my still using.
Excellent. My mother's got one, actually, which is much smaller, that takes just 2 eggs, to 2 eggs.
Wow.
And does have a timer, but we've had it for forever and a day. I couldn't tell you where we got it or what it cost, but, I mean, it must have been a similar sort of price. Mm. But that does have a little timer on it, which beep, beep, beeps when the eggs
are ready. I must admit that would be useful. But the one that's at my dad's house, he's got one inside a toaster, which I think we've spoken about on the show before. So it's a toaster cum egg cooker. And that one you can just walk away from. And it is handy. You just put it on, walk away from it, and then 3 hours later you get your hard-boiled eggs for your sandwich.
All white. Let's have another jingle. This is classic Aidan Bell, this is. I wanted a microfiber cleaning cloth for the car. For the new car. I've got a new car, by the way. I don't know if I've told you.
Not again. Another new one.
And we have microfiber cleaning cloths in the house. But no. They weren't the right colour because I've got a white car with a black inside. And I thought, well, I'm not going to have a yellow or a green or a red microfiber cleaning cloth in my lovely black car. Please. So I went onto Amazon and I bought it's called Brabinta. 1180 29 for anyone who cares. Microfiber cleaning cloths. You get two for £2.80, so they're £1.40 each. So they're not expensive. I mean, I got the two of them for less than the price of a cup of coffee, and they're very nice, very perfectly decent little microfiber cleaning cloths. I'd say in old money, they're 6 or 7 inches square. Very nice. You can get them in. There are different sizes, and the three different sizes and three different colours available if you have a car of a different hue. And there we are. I'm very happy with them. But cheap as chips, £2.80 for two.
Very nice indeed.
That was it.
I want one. I want one. I want one.
I want one of those.
Oh, we're knocking through the jingles today. What do you want?
Yeah. I quite fancy a marble desk. You know, I saw somebody who had a marble. They were on a YouTube video, and I just happened to notice that what they were presenting, it was a marble top, and I thought that looks absolutely lovely. And I started to remember things that we used to have back in the day that were made of marble, and yeah, solid and heavy and but beautifully smooth and classy. And if it's got that marble kind of fleck going on in it, it just looks like almost like a Roman surface or something.
Yes.
Just lovely. And I just quite fancy one. So I went looking for one and I found this one, a Steve Bristow marble desk. Well, actually it's a dining room table, but it will do. And it just looks very classy, and you can feel the coldness on it. On a hot summer's day, put your hand on it and it'll just chill your hand. I really do like, I'd forgotten how nice marble was. I don't know if it's very un-eco-friendly. I suppose it's not really. It's only rock, isn't it?
It's lovely. I remember, I can't remember what country I was in. Shows what a snob I am, doesn't it? But I visited the mountain where one of the mountain areas where marble comes from. And you could see the mountain ahead of you and a dirty great big cutout, like some creature had taken a bite out of the mountain where they've been mining this marble out of the mountain. I suppose it's only eco unfriendly in that A, you're ruining the mountain, and B, I suppose there's a lot of energy required to get the rock out. But you're right, it is only rock. And you're also right, it's gorgeous. I love marble too, and that is a very nice table.
Well, this particular one, Steve Bristow is clearly a master craftsman, and this one is over £2,000 for this.
Ooh.
Dining room table, but it really is. Like, if you hadn't spent £2,000 on a pair of teeth, and you quite fancied you're spending it on something else, this would be a much nicer idea.
Well, listen,
don't buy teeth, buy a marble desk.
Look on the bright side, Ted. It's going to be much easier to get those dentures in your gob than it would a marble table. And I thought that at £118, mine was going to be expensive before you bought a £2,000 marble table. Oh, it's available in black too, I've just noticed. Oh, black marble. Yeah. Oh, very sexy. That would match my car. Oh, now what can I put in my car that's made of marble? But I digress. I bring you a Maker's Cabinet Iris Drawing Compass. I stumbled upon this on the web. It just threw itself up at me. Never seen or heard of it before. Basically, It is a tool for drawing circles. It's made by a company called Maker's Cabinet, who I also discovered in the process of this, who make some beautiful looking tools. And the one that really just threw itself at me is the Iris Drawing Compass. What you got to imagine is a camera aperture. It's exactly like the way a camera aperture works. As you turn it, the hole gets larger or smaller, and you use it to draw hot circles on paper when you're designing. Now, once in a blue moon, I do have to draw a circle with some of my DIY stuff and the crazy making things I get up to at home. Once in a while, I do need a circle, and I usually run around looking for something circular, like a CD or a coin that I can use. I would love one of these. And not only for that, it is beautiful. It is sexy. It is. There's a very good review. Those of a similar vintage to myself will no doubt remember Mythbusters and Adam Savage, one of the presenters. He now does a lot of his own on the web, and he's got a very favourable review of the Iris Drawing Compass and indeed of Maker's Cabinet, which is a good watch. And it just looks lovely, and you can even display it. I mean, it's beautiful as well as being practical. It looks like a thing of beauty that you would actually be happy to display on your desk or working area when you're not using it. I can't justify £118, absolutely not, but I wish I could because it looks gorgeous. What do you think?
Yeah, it does. It looks like one of these instruments that it's expensive because not many people are going to be buying them. So it's supply and demand.
Yes.
A bit like a marble desk, probably.
Yes. Oh, a marble desk with this on top of it. There you are, the ultimate luxury.
Yeah, exactly. But you're right, it looks lovely. It looks like something that should be in a ship, in a captain's quarters in a ship.
Yes,
a route plotting graph. Whatever
exactly.
They're
called, you know? Or the job that I did the other month when I got the Boss clothing, where I was playing Adrian, I've forgotten his name now, the F1 designer. And they had some very posh, expensive tools on the design table in front of me. This would have been perfectly in place then.
Yeah.
Oh, it does look
at the way. Look at the way it's chamfered around the edges as well.
Yes. Yeah, anyone who's interested, I do recommend watching the Adam Savage interview, which is linked to. If you go to makerscabinet.com, you'll find everything there, including the Adam Savage review, which is a good watch. Yeah, it looks lovely. I'd love to own one of these.
Very, very nice. Better
before.
Right, Matthew Jones is saying that jam was better before.
Oh.
Or was it? he does say, for our American friends, of course, jam is called jelly.
Indeed.
I don't know if jam is always called jelly in America. Is it?
I've heard it called jello. Jello, I would have thought.
Does the word jam not exist in America, though, at all? I don't know.
No, I don't think so. I don't think much. Jam is probably what happens on the motorway when there's too many cars. I think they do say jello over there.
You know who can tell us? Elizabeth or Daniel. Let us know. In the days of old, says Matthew, my mum or nan would have a jar of jam in the cupboard. And this is the point he's making. And it may have been there for several months, years even, and it would still be fine to eat. Now, if you open a jar now, it's usually mouldy within a couple of weeks, tops. In my house, jam's an occasional treat, so the next time we go to the jar, it's revolting and needs chucking away. So he wonders, is it to do with quantities of sugar, preservatives? He says that he's guessing the nanny state has reduced the sugar in it to protect me. As a grown-up, however, I'd rather they left it alone. And now allow me to make my own choices using my own intelligence about sugar. Of course, we could buy the tiny jars, he finishes up by saying, but they never tend to have enough in them to make it worthwhile. And also, it's not very eco-friendly either, those tiny little jars with the process. Anyway, so yes, I do agree. I tend to keep jam or marmalade in the fridge, which means it lasts forever. But if he's quite right. If you keep it in the cupboard, it will go mouldy. And it must be to do with preservatives and sugar. I think he's right. Do you agree?
I do agree. And I mean, I can't really comment because I certainly these days I don't eat enough jam to be able to really, you know, have any data to comment on. But I do. It's sort of ingrown in me now from my childhood onwards that you often have to spoon off a little bit of nastiness when you open the jam. For me, that's relatively normal. Open the jam, scrape off the mould, and then eat the rest. So,
You must really keep yours a long time then.
Well, this is what I'm saying. I'm not sure. I can't remember well enough to know whether those jars were there for weeks, months, or even literally years, as he suggests. But even if they have been there for years, just scrape the mould off the top and carry on.
Okay, well, I take the point both sides, but I'm with Matthew. I do agree that when I think in the old days, sugar preserves it, and it's been replaced. Sugar has been reduced and replaced with all sorts of other chemical junk, probably in jam.
Yes, I do take that point very well. Yes,
I tell you one thing that everyone will probably have happen to them. Is cranberry sauce. No one uses cranberry sauce except one day a year.
Go on, sorry, after you.
That jar will just be, you know, 11 months later you go and say, oh, right, well, do we need to get cranberry sauce? Of course you do, because this one's all mouldy.
Yeah, but you know what? That is the sadness of my mother's, because she indeed likes cranberry sauce once in a blue moon and only eats a very small amount when she does. Can you buy cranberry sauce in the tiny pots? No, you cannot. You can buy every jam under the sun in tiny pots, but not cranberry sauce, because I guess it's considered a sauce, not a confiture. And therefore, which is a shame, because I've been on a permanent hunt for little pots of cranberry for my mother, so she can keep one in the fridge. So, yes, agreed on all points. Thank you.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, Matthew.
Right. I should write another jingle. We have a new section, ladies and gentlemen. Ted, I'll let you explain it. It was your idea. You should have the honour. But I may be called upon to jingleify quite soon, may I not?
You haven't had that pleasure for a long time. Perhaps we'll do one together, shall we? Like the still using.
Oh, yes, yes, okay, yes.
Right, an idea for a new section called Whatever Worked, past tense. Whatever Worked. And the idea is that on each show we go back right to the very start of the shows that we've done together, the ones that we were both on, and pick one item from the show of interest. So not a still using, but a whatever worked at the time. And, you know, maybe if it has legs, we could, yeah, as you say, do a jingle and make a feature of it. We've got lots of shows that we could go through and just pick out items. The first show that we were both on was show 21, which was in November 16. Now, most of the links to the items might well be out of date and not go anywhere, but I don't know. What do you think? Do you think this idea's got legs?
I think it's rather fun because, I mean, still using obviously implies it's still in use and I'm still making use of it. But whatever worked could be just that it worked until I was an idiot and dropped it on the floor and broke it or whatever. Yes. So, yes, it's...
And they stopped making it.
Exactly. Or they stopped making it or I couldn't get any more batteries for it or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
So, yes, I think it's quite a nice... Because there are certain items that one would bring onto the show, but they've disappeared down the hole in the world. And so this gives us a reason to do so. Yes, I agree.
Indeed. Okay, so show 21, what do you pick?
You know what? Having said all that, I'm still using it. It's the sound-activated wireless doorbells. It was, you know, after losing my father and settling into being in the house with my mother and making various changes, we found that the doorbells weren't quite sufficient and I needed better and louder and longer and more obvious doorbellism in the house. But we have some lovely old-fashioned doorbells that my father put in that I really didn't want to get rid of. So I found this sound-activated wireless doorbell. So basically, it's a second doorbell, but the activation is a sound activator. So what I did was I put the sound activator next to the ringer of the old traditional in the house already doorbell, and the second doorbell then rings as a sort of chain reaction to the first doorbell. And it's fabulous. And it even people think we have a dog because, you know, you can choose from 45 wonderful sounds, all of which sound like crap. Well, one of them includes a dog barking. So we've even got a barking dog when the doorbell rings now. So that's been when was this? 2016. My goodness, 8 years it has served us perfectly. So not only is it a whatever worked, but it's also a still using.
We do have a problem with the links, though, because none of those links on the item work. I don't know if you can find that still for sale anywhere, or we just accept that in this section for our dear listeners that you might not get to it.
It was from Germany, from a company called Reichelt, which is R-E-I-C-H-E-L-T. And I'm sure they can probably be found on web if anyone's interested. But they certainly, if it's still going strong after 8 years, a very good product.
Very good indeed. The one that I'm going to pick is not still using because I don't have no idea where it is. I bought it when I lived in Sussex and it was to serve a purpose. It was the grass protection mesh which you put over lawn outside of the place I lived. It got really, really muddy. You may remember.
I remember this.
This green, lovely green kind of plasticky mesh stuff. And you put it, you just lay it down over the top of the muddy area. And you can then walk on it and you don't slip up on the mud. And it worked really, really well. As I say, I've since left that area and I don't really have the same problem where I live now. So I've not needed it. But I do remember it fondly. It worked well at the time. It's called Easy Mat. And that link is still live on Amazon UK. So I'll put that in the show notes. And you can get it in different sizes and different roll lengths and widths and all the rest of it. And it's currently 28 quid. So, yeah, that was whatever worked.
Did you pull it all up when you left and take it with you?
Can't remember. I do remember stapling it down because I thought, is there much point in putting staples into grass?
Well, you can get extra long. I mean, you can get staples that are about, you know, 10 centimetres long that go into grass, yes.
Yeah, I did. I used to use them when I had a tent, I remember. Yeah. Anyway, so there you go. Grass protection mesh. And it was something that... I can't say this properly. It was whatever worked.
Nice, Ted. Nice section. I'm going to enjoy that. Thank you very much. Here's a section that has a jingle.
Hey, yes, indeed. Matthew Jones is back on People That Drive the Wrong Way Round Car Parks.
Oh, yes.
Then gesticulate to you about being in their way.
Oh, yes, yes.
I don't know what sort of ism this is, but he'll get into trouble for this. I get that some BMW, Audi, Mercedes drivers struggle to read road signs, but there are 8-foot arrows on the ground right under their noses on this particular occasion, he says. So, yes, people that drive the wrong way around car parks and then seem to think it's your fault because you're doing it properly, even when they should be... My dad was good at this. Don't tell him I told you that. But he used to drive the wrong way around car parks and because he couldn't seem to see the signs and get the whole system. And anyway.
And I would add equally, other people, if you're going the wrong way around a car park and they come the other way and there's actually plenty of room for everybody, they still want to make a big scene about, you're going the wrong way, to which you say, yes, I know, get a life. Judge Barton responded, now... I say, my lord, you're on the wrong side of this argument. He says, if you drive a 10-year-old pickup covered in mud and cowpats together with a few dents, they soon move out of your way.
Yeah, imagine they would on Ian's farm.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
In fact, incidentally, Ian's not been well lately. So all the best to you, Ian. I hope you get well really soon and back on your feet after a bit of a health scare.
Oh, dear. Did he hit a driver the wrong way in a car park? Yes, all the best to you, Ian, sir.
Yeah. Maybe we should also add... What's your car called? Not a Proton.
A Polestar. Polestar.
We'll add Polestar to BMW, Audi, Mercedes, shall we?
Let's move on, shall we? Simon Bates wants to put O2 into room 101. A sad tale. Simon says, my daughter recently ported her phone number across and they screwed it up. She couldn't receive any texts or iMessages. I don't know what an iMessage is, but it must be something to do with that company called Apple.
You're better not knowing.
First of all, they said to wait another 24 hours, but after that, nothing had changed. Then they converted the number to an eSIM. I don't know what an eSIM is either, but that wouldn't register.
You're better off knowing, not knowing.
So she went into an O2 shop. I know what that is. But they wouldn't accept scans of her passport or driving licence. Why not? She drove home. Oh, no, I see. But they wouldn't accept scans of her passport or driving licence. They wanted the real thing. So she drove home and returned with her driving licence. And they started putting in the details for security. But they put her middle name and first names the wrong way round. And this locked the account. And they said that we'd have to wait for another 2 hours.
Nah.
They seem more interested in trying to make people sign up to broadband and expensive phone packages than to actually helping. Some guy walked off saying he was sick of this and was going to go somewhere else. In the end, my daughter had to cancel the contract and lose her ported number after being put through to one of those teams that try to talk you out of it all and don't listen. Oh, dear. Yeah, I think that I feel very badly for you, Simon. I think that's a good example of, you know, we've talked on the show about how lovely it is to receive aftercare from a small company who care about their customers and know them almost by name versus a big behemoth like O2 and the other giants who just don't care. So I'm sorry for your experience, Simon, and I agree. Room 101 it is.
Yeah, I do agree. And to be honest, the last time I changed my phone number, which isn't very often, I had to get a new contract in the same way as Simon has here. And I decided, because of all this hassle, I just couldn't be bothered to try and keep my number.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just accepted I'd have a new one. And it didn't take long to just send a message to all the people I know.
Yes.
On my Google contacts list. Send out an email, send out text messages, whatever, and you know you soon get past it. And I also the added benefit of changing your number is you get rid of all the crap. That,
I was going to say all
the people that know your number, yeah,
the Romanian princes and ladies of the night.
Exactly.
And, yeah,
you can start again. So
clean slate.
I do
yes.
understand. I understand the other side of the coin as well. Ian Chappell is next on Stanley tape measures.
Oh.
I like Stanley products, he says. They're not cheap, but they're usually very well made. However, Their tape measures have the length of the body embossed on the back, which is incredibly hard to read, being yellow on yellow in his case. And having been able to read it, you find it's only in inches. As a Brit who's lived outside the UK for 38 of my 57 years, I'm fairly conversant with both imperial and metric units, but even I struggle to add 2¾ inches to a metric length. It's ridiculous, says Ian. And he's supplied a photograph in the MeWe group of his the back end of his tape measure. And sure enough, it does say 2¾ inches. Now, someone else responded in the group and showed one that they had that also had millimetres on it. So probably some have and some don't, and it depends on the make, as you say. But I don't know, have you got a live test one there to look at?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be a bit of a devil's advocate here, because surely you only need to know this once when you buy it. And then you know. I mean, I know, sat here in, with my tape measure in another room in a box, that it's 5 centimetres along. So when I'm measuring, I know my tape measure is 5 centimetres. So is it not something that you just... I will say this only once. Once you know it, then you know it. So you don't have to read it every time.
Get a black marker and write it on
the get a Sharpie plastic. And write 5cm across it or something, yes.
No, but I do. Look. People putting stuff into room 101 isn't always rational. It's anger.
Yes, it is.
Annoyance.
I agree. And also, and he's quite right. I mean, the yellow on yellow is ridiculous. Even if you're in the shop buying the thing, it's still bloody hard to read yellow on yellow. So yes, I'm with you on that point, Ian. Yes, and it's my turn. Hot air hand dryers in public toilets. I don't care if they're becoming popular and other people think they're wonderful and they save on paper and thus the planet. I'm sorry. They blow dirty, unhygienic air around the toilets. Oh, no, but you've cleaned your hands before you dry them. Yes, most people clean their hands. A lot of people don't know how to clean their hands or just wave their piss-stained hands peripherally under the water and then hold them under the dryer, blowing their piss around the toilet. As you can see, this is a bit of a soapbox for me. And they're noisy. That's the other thing. I mean, they are so noisy. You're standing there trying to do your business and suddenly next to you and it scares you out of your bejesus. No, I'm sorry. I would put hot air hand dryers into room 101 with a great thud. Amen.
surely they've got filters in them, haven't they? They couldn't be just blowing around recirculated pissy air from
a toilet.
No, but
I mean, supposing you hold your hand and supposing you've got some dirt on it underneath a hot air blower and the air blows onto your hand, and what happens to that air? It reflects off your hand and blows all the dirt into the air that people are walking around and breathing.
I'm not questioning that. What I'm saying is that the air that it blows out, I would think that that's clean and filtered air.
Oh, that's possibly filtered air, but it doesn't. Yeah, but it's immediately polluted again when it hits the hands of people who haven't washed their hands properly.
Yeah.
Horrible, horrible things. Ate them, yuck. Okay, I'm feeling better now. I'll allow you to present a gold star instead.
I want to give a gold star to TCL. You know that company from the Far East who make televisions? Well, they make phones now and tablets.
Yes.
And I had I ordered a phone to review for the PSC podcast, and it came. And the reason that I ordered it was that they did this really, really good deal on, if you buy the phone, which was cheap enough to begin with, they'll also give you a tablet. Now, the usual thing happens when you kind of read the small print on the Amazon order page, and it says you've got to jump through this hoop and that hoop in order to get your free additional bit. And you think to yourself, yeah, I bet I'll never see this. And if you miss the window of filling in the form, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I went and did what I was supposed to do, waited 14 days, filled in the form on their website, which was piss easy. The process was exactly as they said it would be on the information. The claim was validated. I got an email back from them within hours of, not even, it was, it, I don't think even, it was 2 hours.
It, yeah.
It was really quick. Now, whether a human being was involved in that, I wonder. I think it must be, because you had to send in PDFs of your proof of purchase and all the rest of it. And I'm guessing a human being would have sat and looked at that. I don't know, maybe not. But really good communications throughout. And the 30 days they've got to deliver this thing, they've delivered it in 13 days. So they haven't even made people keep waiting right until the end of the window. And, I, you know, on these previous claim thing, now, it might not be TCL that are managing this, to be fair, but whoever it is are acting on behalf of TCL, and they've just done really well with this. I'm very, very impressed with the level of communication, the speed at which they've done it, the ease at which the process happened, and all the rest of it, having come from a background of most times when you do this, it's just a pain in the arse, and you get the feeling that these companies are hoping people won't bother and they'll give up. This was great. So well done, TCL, or your agent, or whoever's managing that.
That's lovely. I mean, that is the absolute antithesis to Simon Bates's O2 situation, isn't it?
Yeah,
exactly. You know, if they can do it, why can't O2? Excellent. A well-deserved star. Yes.
Well done indeed.
Indeed.
And you never know. I might bring my tablet onto the show at some point in the future, except I'll get told off because it's then too techie. I think we're nearly at the hour now. So we've done our stint. We'll be back
indeed.
In a fortnight.
Indeed.
So 2 weeks' time, let us know whatever works in your lives. Let us know in the MeWe group, and we'll bring all the highlights of that to the next show in 2 weeks' time. If you keep that flowing, we'll keep doing the shows every 2 weeks, particularly through the winter, which seems to be the time when it's probably more likely. AidanBell.com is where you'll find Aidan. TedSalmon.com is where you'll find me. WhateverWorks.works is where you find our website with all the links to everything on. And yeah, TedSalmon.com incidentally is where you'll find links to all the MeWe groups and all the other audio podcasts, and in my blog as well. So do head across there and follow the links. And yeah, don't forget to join us in the MeWe group. Any last words from you, Squire?
Yes, adult last words this time. Have a nice fortnight, everyone. And I'm looking forward to finding out whatever worked next show. I'm going to enjoy that, Ted.
Yes.
Nice idea. Nice new section. Have fun, everybody.
Indeed.
And take care and have a good fortnight.
Cheers. And one last thing to say. As always, don't forget, whatever
works,
works.
See what I did there? Oh, never mind.